Welcome to episode 25 of the Red Sox On Deck podcast, part of the Over the Monster podcast network. I'm your host, Bob Osgood, joined as always by Shelley Verstrait. And Shelley, if anything, we have content this week, don't we?
We have all the content. After some technical difficulties last week, now we have way too much stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're back. We had a week off. Like you said, some technical difficulties, weren't able to record last week, but that is in the past. And a lot more in the agenda this week, in addition to a week that we had already written up. So we got a lot to talk about. This episode might be all over the place. I don't know where it's going to take us, but before we start, some maintenance and reminders. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on whichever platform you listen to the Over the Monster podcast. We've got the Over the Monster podcast with Matt Collins and Brian Joyner, the Red Seat with Jake Devereaux and Keaton DeRocher, and the Precap Pod with Shelley and Keaton as well. So I was going to start by going through the transactions, and every week I take a look at the transactions, make sure that I didn't miss anything, ask your opinion on maybe one or two things. And all right, here we go. Christian Arroyo activated from the IL on August 23rd and placed on the COVID IL on August 27th. Jonathan Araúz sent down on the 23rd, called up on the 27th. Jaron Duran sent to the minors on the 24th, recalled on the 26th. Tanner Houck recalled on the 24th. Hunter Renfroe bereavement list August 26th, returned August 31st. Jairo Munoz recalled August 27th, finally placed on the COVID IL on September 1st. Reynald Espinal recalled on August 30th, made his MLB debut, sent down on August 31st. Phillips Valdez recalled August 30th. Brad Peacock traded from Houston to Boston August 30th, started on August 31st, making his Boston debut. Steven Gonsalves recalled on August 30th, made his Boston debut. Ryan Brazier and Danny Santana activated from their rehab assignment on September 1st during the roster expansion. John Schreiber makes his Boston debut, possibly called up on September 1st. Jack Lopez does make his MLB debut on September 1st as part of the COVID IL taxi squad. And then other COVID ILs, Xander Bogaerts, Hirokazu Sawamura, Josh Taylor in the protocol, Martin Perez, Matt Barnes, Enrique Hernandez. How'd I do?
Bravo.
Who would you like to talk about?
Honestly, who is on this team at this point? And with all of these transactions, are we still going for like a playoff spot? Like, just all of the transactions that has happened. And I mean, I know that we haven't, recorded in 2 weeks, but just knowing how many transactions have we had in like the past 5 days, like, it's unbelievable. I don't even know who's on this team at this point.
Yep. That looks like about 20. and yeah, you're burying the lead. The Red Sox won 3 series in a row in between the time that we recorded, and are still holding on to the final wild card spot. At the same time, the AL East slipped away. They're now 10 games back, and they've lost the first 2 games against the Rays when the COVID list got a lot more significant. And, you can't tread water for too long, but we'll see if they can win a Chris Sale start tonight on Wednesday night that you'll already know the result of on Thursday. But yeah, I mean, that's the crazy part, is the season feels like it's slipping away, and we're here to tell you about a few players that have been called up that are career journeymen minor leaguers, and they're playing on a team that, if the season ended today, would have a playoff spot. It's absolutely crazy, and not a situation that we've seen before. And I mean, we saw it with New York, with the Yankees earlier in the year, coming out of the All-Star break, where it seemed like their whole team went out, and Red Sox won some games out there, and the Yankees were however many games out. But they had the time. They had 2 months when everyone came back from COVID and a trade deadline to take care of things in between. And unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. You go 7 to 10 days out from now when some of these players come back, there's going to be 3 weeks left in the season. You don't know where you're going to be in the wild card race, how many teams you're going to be competing with, and you don't have any avenues to add players like New York did at that time.
Yeah, and I agree. And then just knowing that the guys that have been, you know, sadly sidelined because of COVID, it's really the up the middle guys and also our bullpen. And those were kind of like our weakest positions as well. It's just, it's been a rough couple of days.
Yeah, I have gotten more text messages to ask me, who is this guy? well, I guess since 2020, because that happened a lot last year too. But
yeah,
certainly not during a playoff race to say, who is this? I mean, you know, there's some good stories that are in here. Jack Lopez, who was at the Olympics for Puerto Rico, I believe, got a silver medal. I feel like that's what I read earlier, making his MLB debut. That's a great story. And Reynel Espinal, 27, 28 years old, finally getting called up, but just in difficult circumstances, you know. Ryan Brazier making his way back. He had an injury early in the season, and then he got hit in the head with a line drive. And you never know, you know, mentally how someone is going to be after a situation like that. And it's good to see that he's back up and with the team. I didn't think we'd be saying Danny Santana's name again, but here he is, and he is probably going to be involved because he's, you know, Jairo Munoz was playing that infield, outfield, all-around role, and that's what, this might be the most valuable that Danny Santana's been all year because of the number of positions that he can play, you know, including center field in a pinch, like you said, losing these guys up the middle. So, and then, you know, Brad Peacock, who had an ERA over 7 for Houston and an ERA over 7 in the minor leagues, gets a start the day after that he's traded for. So just craziness. And I'm sure 5 other things that I missed in there. So anyways, any other players that you wanted to highlight on that list before we move along?
Not really.
All right, well, let's move on to Jarren Duran, because that was kind of the key piece that we were going to talk about last week. He was demoted to AAA right before we were going to record, a day before, and he has since been called back up, and I'm sure not how they drew it up, only having a day or two down in Worcester, because he certainly had some things that he needed to work on. You know, quite a few strikeouts while he was up with the major league team, and I don't know what you saw with Duran. I guess kind of two questions for you: was it the right move when they demoted Duran, and what was the biggest factor in your mind for his demotion? Kind of, you know, if we can go back a week in time.
Yeah, I honestly do think that it was the best move at that point. There, you know, he wasn't being played every day. You know, he's being platoon against lefties, which I just really just wanted him to see every day at bats. And if he wasn't getting that at the minor at the major leagues, and he really wasn't performing very well when he was with the big league club. I was totally fine with him being demoted. It made me sad because I really did have high hopes for him. But yeah, this is you're not going to be like a Juan Soto. You're not going to be like a Ronald Acuña Jr. like when you come up and just, you know, just hit the ground running. So seeing him get demoted, I was totally okay with it. But knowing that, you know, just all of the COVID stuff, he gets brought back up here. Hopefully that doesn't like stifle his development, you know, just whatever. But just as long as he gets every day at bats, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he did have some, you know, there were some positive things to take out of his time that was up there. Mm-hmm. And looking at some of his splits, he was hitting 316 against curveballs, but he was struggling with other pitches. He was hitting 218 against fastballs and 083 against changeups. He was getting behind in the count early. He was, when he got sent down, he was 0 for 14 with 11 strikeouts once he got to an 0-2 count. So he would get behind, and then he was kind of struggling to work his way back into the count. He was just kind of striking out at that point, and seemed like he had struggles up and away with the fastballs. And I mean, that's really important to see where your holes are and what you need to work on. And it was unfortunate when he came back up, because I was hoping, you know, he could take 2 or 3 weeks or however long that he needed to work on some of those things and see whether they were going to need him towards the end of the season. He's a super motivated player. And those names that you said are exactly right. We were spoiled by Soto and Acuna and Tatis. And demotions are not a knock on anyone. You know, everyone uses the Mike Trout example. He got demoted, and Mike Socha compared Trout to Duran when he was managing him, and Jared Kelenic this year, and, you know, who actually is back up a second time and hasn't set the world on fire this time either. But, like I said, Duran is motivated. I think that hopefully he can take these at-bats that he's getting now. Perhaps when everyone comes back, he can get some time at AAA and work on some of these struggles and come back next year. I do not personally, I have not changed my expectations on Duran in any way. I didn't have him in superstar level, but I still think that he can be a really good player and a Jacoby Ellsbury type outside of the near MVP season that he had. I still think that that's within the range of possibilities for him.
Yep, agreed.
All right, we do have some promotions. We're going to focus on some positive things here this week. Jake Grom got promoted to AA Portland, and we're actually going to talk about Grom a little bit later in the episode. Steven Scott was promoted to High A, and Wilkelman Gonzalez was promoted to Low A from the Complex League. So Steven Scott going up to Greenville in his 26 games since he's been at Greenville, and I know that this promotion was a little ways back, but since that has happened, I mean, we haven't talked about him. He's hit .376 in 26 games with a .477 OBP. He's walking 16% of the time. He's striking out 17% of the time. Just absolutely crushing the ball. And we talk about Joe Davis a lot. I think, what did Ian say? It was the Meatball Boys or something like that, that the two of them were called as their nickname. And they're reunited, and they're on fire again up at Greenville. So great to see this promotion and see somebody continue to hit. And that's going to be the theme of this episode, is that a lot of players have gotten promoted and continued to play well after their promotions.
Yeah, I agree. Steven Scott, we haven't really mentioned him on the pod. He's been just hitting. He really should hit just based age to level, but even that being said, I just love to just see a guy just absolutely demolish any league, whether he's, you know, a little bit older for the level, whatever. But yeah, just that just stat line is just great, and I love to see it.
Yeah, you're right, and it's important to mention that he is 24. He was a 10th round pick in 2019. You know, kind of seemed like a possible depth first baseman, outfielder type. But, you know, the book on Scott is that he has good raw power. It was just a matter of whether he was going to be able to get to that in games. And as we've said all year, in the year off, you have no idea what kind of advances people have made. And Scott has played really well, and I think is just an interesting name to keep an eye on. And then the other one is Wilkelman Gonzalez. And he had, at the Complex League, thrown 35 innings and struck out 46, and he was 4-2 with a 3.60 ERA and had a lot of really good outings and seemed to be making a leap up a lot of prospect lists. A lot of scouts were giving great reviews of Gonzalez, and he's with Salem now and threw 4 2/3 innings, giving up one run in his first start this past week. So good to see that there as well. And we're going to talk about a 2020 draftee that got promoted shortly in Nick York, but between Grom and Scott and Gonzalez and York, just kind of good to see these players deserving of promotions and some new names that we haven't talked about as much this year.
Yep.
Another name, Connor Siebold, and he had an outstanding outing, and you know, that's kind of a name that I think we're going to see on that transactions page when we go through that next week. But his most recent start was, I believe, on the 28th, 3 days ago, so he didn't really line up when it got completely desperate. He had thrown the day before, that's my guess. But I want to talk a little bit about his outing the time before that, where he threw 7 innings, giving up 1 hit, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, five of those were swinging, four of those were looking, and just looked great. And in his most recent outing, gave up four runs in four and a third. But Shelley, do you think we're going to see Seabold through this revolving door at some point in September?
Yeah, I really do. Even prior to all of the COVID issues that we faced this week, I felt that we were going to see Seabold like the next time that he was available to pitch.
Yeah.
Because he didn't quite line up with the whole expanded, you know, rosters at, you know, September 1. So I didn't think that he was going to be promoted then. I was thinking a couple days, but especially with all of the COVID things that's going on with the roster right now, I do think that we will see Seabold within the next couple days, probably when he's available to pitch. And yeah, I'm excited to see him. He's performed well in AAA. I just cannot wait to see him. And that Brandon Workman trade last year is just paying dividends.
Yeah, and I like Nick Pivetta. More and more, watching his curveball is just a pleasure, because there's just so few curveballs that look like that. Kind of looks like Brandon Workman's old curveball when he was in his prime. But yeah, they traded Hembree and Workman for Pivetta and Seabold. Yeah, you have to think that Seabold was going to get that Brad Peacock start. They might have held him out a day or two had they known that it was going down that direction. But yeah, I mean, Seabold has that kind of mid-rotation starter ceiling. You know, he's 25, he'll be 26 at the start of next year. So I'm really hoping, there's so much we could talk about with who might end up in the rotation, whether Hauk will end up there or Whitlock, or whether they'll sign a free agent, you know, a Max Scherzer type, something like that. But it would be good to see Seabold in some sort of role in September, and I think that we will probably in 2 or 3 days after he's recovered from his last start, and probably will add to the transactions page at that point. Another name we're going to talk about probably next week or the week after, we'll revisit the 2021 draft and go back through kind of how everyone has done in this first month after they've signed. But Marcelo Meyer, we should at least talk about him. He hit his first two home runs of the season last week in back-to-back games, including a four RBI game there, and is doing what he needs to do in the complex league. I think they'll probably, you know, they're sending him down there for 2 months and likely would go to Salem next year. Obviously, still very young, 18 years old. But in the complex league, through 14 games, he's hitting .294 and is walking 16% of the time. So his OBP is .410, striking out 21% of the time, small sample in 14 games. But he's got 2 homers, 11 RBIs, 13 runs, and 3 steals. So, you know, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to have to go back and watch highlights of a lot of players as this season is starting to wind down and in the off season when there aren't 100 games on every night, but looking forward to watching some game film of Meyer, and he's taking care of business in the first couple of weeks in the complex league. So anything to add there, or we're going to look on to the 2020 draft in a moment?
No, I just really just, I've been really impressed with Meyer's, coming in from the high school and just going into the complex league and just absolutely demolishing that particular league, you know, hitting, like you said, .294. I'm really, really impressed with that signing. I'm glad that we got him with the fourth pick, and yeah, I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but MLB Pipeline putting Meyer with the number 9 prospect on their top 100 list. So a lot of high praise and good reviews from how he's played these first couple of weeks. All right, so we wanted to revisit this week the 2020 draft, and it was some recent promotions that are a little bit outdated now that kind of made us think it was a good time to look back at these players. Started with Nick York and his promotion, which is now a couple of weeks ago, from Salem to Greenville. And it's incredible to think of what his numbers look like the first month of the season. And we've brought this up a few times, but if you exclude his first 20 games, if you started on May 30th going forward for his time at Salem, After that date, York hit 373 with a 467 OBP and a 608 slugging, which is a 1,076 OPS, 13% walks, 10% Ks, you know, significantly more walks than Ks, you know, after those first 20 games. Just startling numbers, and has gone up to Greenville, and in his first six games, he's 10 for 25. He's hit two home runs with seven RBIs. I saw film of a home run that he hit to go ahead the other night that... I wrote it down over here somewhere. It was something like 470 something feet, with a crazy exit velocity. But I don't know. In terms of who I am most excited about this year, I think Nick York has to be number one on that list.
I definitely agree. I was like intrigued when they signed him last year. They drafted him, signed him. I'm like, okay, yeah. I felt this guy was gonna be basically kind of like a hit tool guy. He is a hit tool guy, but he has power. It's just everything that I've seen from him this year, knowing how young he is for the both levels that he's at. I've just been just absolutely impressed with him, and I cannot wait to see him next year.
He's 19 years old. Those stats that we just rattled off there, he was he turned 19 in April at the very beginning of the season.
It's incredible with what he's doing, you know. Outside of like that first month when he was in Salem and it didn't look that great, but he's just been going gangbusters, like you said. I every time I, you know, open up the box scores every single night, I'm like, let me just go see what, you know, Nicky York is doing, you know, because I just want to see what he's just been incredible.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that's a little deceiving is the stolen bases. He has 11 steals, but he's been caught 9 times, and, you know, not a great sign, but that's okay. If he hits and he has this power, then, you know, you're not going to be as worried about that, and he plays... has played a good second base there as well. So it was a 449-foot home run with a 107-mile-per-hour exit velocity for a game-winning home run in the eighth or ninth inning right after getting promoted. So, you know, able to handle the moment as well, which is just great to see. So totally agree with you there. And then Blaze Jordan, he at the Florida Complex League played 19 games, and after that was promoted to Salem. But in the Florida Complex League, he hit 362, 408 OBP. His slugging was 667, similar OPS of what York had after that May 30th date, up near 1,100. He had four homers, 19 RBIs. Promoted to Salem, he's 8 for 32 in 8 games since he was promoted. Two home runs, 7 RBIs, and had a tape-measure grand slam in one of his first games as well. So Jordan, the second round pick there after York, was Jordan the third round? I need to make sure that I have that right.
Yeah, he was the third round because we didn't have a second round pick.
Yep. That's right. Sorry about that. Third round pick after they lost the second round pick, signing him over slot. So he's had a good start as well. Got a promotion and has had a couple of home runs since getting promoted.
Yeah, and he's kind of, I don't know, like, I kind of made me look like a fool. Because when they drafted him, I'm like, oh, they picked a guy who was, like, a really power, like, prospect, right? Who had, like, a lot of, like,
interesting, raw power, like, right?
Lot of home runs, like on like YouTube and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, they picked the guy who could really just mash a ball. I just expected him to just strike out all the time. But Blaze has basically told me to shut up. And he has been hitting much better than I expected him to. So, yeah, the first two selections, last year, I've just... been like, okay, right. Heim Bloom, you know what you're doing. These two picks have been really, really good. So
Yeah, also 18 years old, won't turn 19 until the off season.
Yep.
So definitely two players to get excited about there. So along with that, there were a couple of pitchers. We had Jeremy Wu Yelland in the fourth round and Shane Drohan in the fifth round. And notice when I was looking at both of them, they have the exact same 4.03 ERA this season. Wu Yelland a 1-3 record, Drohan 5-3. We mentioned before Wu Yelland's record is a little bit deceiving because he usually goes four innings, so doesn't usually qualify for the win. But did you have any thoughts on either of these pitchers and any thought, you know, one over the other that might be more likely to be in the rotation or, you know, any thoughts on these players so far?
I guess they kind of, they're kind of doing what I expected. I didn't really think that any of them, like, really would go, they're going to be, like, a starter type. I do think that they might be, like, relievers. Obviously, it's the control from both of them. They walk a lot of guys, but they do strike out a lot of guys, especially Wu Yelland. So yeah, they're kind of doing what I expected.
Yeah, and I know when we had Ian Kundal on, he was saying, you know, that he saw Wu Yelland as someone that could be a really good reliever long term because he had that high 90s fastball with a decent slider and change up, but exactly like you said, the command and control has kind of been an issue with both of them, but Wu Yelland with a little more strikeout upside, at least so far this year. So, you know, it remains to be seen. Wu Yelland striking out more than 10 per nine with Drohan closer to 8. So a couple of pitchers that, you know, are moving their way along and in the low A level, and we'll see if they make some strides going into next year as well.
Yep.
I guess before we kind of talk about some things we're looking forward to in September, I did want to mention the MLB pipeline, top 100 list on MLB.com. There were three Red Sox players on there. And Marcelo Meyer was 9th, Tristan Cassius was 18th, and Jaron Duran was 26th, still prospect eligible. And I thought the most interesting thing personally was that Nick York had moved up to 4th ahead of Jeter Downs on their list, although neither of them in their top 100 left, or top 100 list, York up to 4 ahead of Jeter Downs. You think that was a fair move based on what we've seen this year?
Honestly, I think so. Jeter Downs is kind of, I've been really disappointed with, him, and I've been wondering if, like, they would demote him to Double A. Like, this was, like, his first time in Triple A. He hasn't done well. I'm surprised that they haven't made that move, but at this point in the season, I guess they're just kind of like, yeah, we're just going to let him go. But yeah, York has been like really good, so I get it. But the Meyer at number 9 overall was shocking to me. I mean, I'd love to see it, but it was still pretty shocking.
Yeah, they went pretty aggressive
yeah.
with a few different players that were recently drafted, but yeah, Meyer at 9, that's as high as I've seen him anywhere.
Yeah,
definitely had me excited seeing him there on that list. And of course, that's all around, right? That's offense, that's defense, it's speed, that's everything in there. But you know, just an interesting list, and that's, you can, it's not behind a paywall or anything like that. If you look up MLB Pipeline's top 100 list, that's public. So take a look, kind of the top 100 and the Sox top 30 that was recently released. And kind of the last place that we wanted to go this week was to talk, you know, we've reached September now, which is crazy to think about. We've been doing this podcast since the 1st of March, so we've been doing this for 6 months, which is incredible. 25th episode here, and now that we've reached September, what are you looking for, Shelley, over the final month of the minor league season? Is there a player that you think kind of has the most to gain or lose, a promotion that you want to see, or just anyone specifically, you know, how they might handle a certain level? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about the guy that I kind of want to talk about a little bit earlier in the podcast, you know, Jay Groom getting the promotion to AA. But honestly, it's Jay Groom. He needs to be added to the 40-man this offseason. And prior to this season, I didn't think that he was going to be added because, I mean, he dealt with, like, so many injuries and just not really performing well. But he has just, you know, exceeded my expectations for him this year, knowing all of the injury and underperformance that he has dealt with prior to the season. He has been really, really good, and I honestly think that he deserves a 40-man spot. I mean, there are a couple guys that, you know, that I'm just kind of, like, thinking off the top of my head, like Jason Rosario, guys like that, who probably could be taken off the 40-man, and I would want to see Jay Groom added.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation that we'll have to have about, you know, who you 100%. Think might stay on there as we wind down this year.
Yeah, but Jay Groom has just really performed well this season. I was glad to see him get that promotion. I'll, you know, this next month, I will be looking to see how he does at this new level. But I didn't think that I would see Groom at AA. But, you know, he's totally killed it and totally deserved it.
Yeah, I feel like they want to see, you know, how he can handle that level at the age that he's at. Because he has some deceiving numbers this year. I agree with you. I think that overall this has been a positive season because of how it was almost a York situation where the first month really skewed his ERA and a couple of other outings that he had that were blow-up type of outings. The 5.73 ERA, you look at that and say, well, he hasn't had a good year. He's 3-8 with a 5.73, but he had a long stretch in the middle of the season of great starts, you know, where his ERA had started at about 15 and brought all the way down into the fours, you know. And then there was a recent outing where he gave up 5 or 6 runs early in the outing and then fought through into the 5th or 6th inning. And some of his other indicators are just, it makes you think that he had some bad luck. His FIP is 4.17. His called strike whiff percentage is 31.6. I think that he has done a lot to show, at the very least, that he might be a bullpen arm, a lefty specialist, or a lefty that can go a couple innings. You know, a Michael Kopech type of bullpen arm is just somebody that comes to mind, potentially, right? Ceiling.
Yeah.
That I think that he has that. You see glimpses of that when you watch film of him. But the ceiling and the floor are just so far apart compared to really any other pitcher in the organization that I can think of.
Yep.
The name that I wanted to go with was Gilberto Jimenez. I want to see if he can finish strong because I don't think that he's going to get a promotion, nor do I really think that he should, but I want to see kind of if he continues to handle this level at Salem. And over the past 5 weeks, he has hit 340 with 5 doubles and 4 triples and 15 RBI and 19 runs over those 5 weeks. Brought his walk rate up to 6% in that time frame compared to a 3.8% prior to that. You know, it's nothing that totally jumps off the page, but 340 over 5 weeks is very good. And we spoke about him negatively at times early in the season, where he struggled and some of his splits were questionable and his strikeouts, you know, compared to when he was hitting from the right side. And we asked whether he should continue to switch hit. And I think that he's responded to that really well, and I'm hoping that he can continue to do that in the last month of the season. And his overall stat line is, I think, at the end of the season going to look a lot better if he does that. And I think strong finish should get him a promotion to Greenville next year and hopefully keep him on track. Because he is, on by all accounts, you know, a top 5, 6, 7 prospect on most lists in the organization. So I think, you know, that's an important name to it's good to see him respond in the second half of the season the way that he has and make some adjustments and hopefully keep that going.
Yeah, I hope that this, you know, this last couple of weeks here are the Jimenez that we are going to see. I still really want him to just pick a side of the plates and just bat from that side and just go with that. I mean, we've seen some players recently, you know, in the major leagues kind of go that way and just totally go gangbusters. But I have been encouraged with his most recent stats, and I hope that is what we see going forward at the plate, because we all know that he is really, really good in the outfield.
Absolutely, and that's a good point. It's good to bring up his defense as well. That's a very important part of his game. So, all right, on that note, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at BobOsgood15. Shelly is at ShellyV_643. And hopefully a week from now, we've got a little more positive news and we can talk about, you know, a more normal roster and more normal trickle-down AAA rosters that we have, and kind of see where things are going in September rather than the doom and gloom that we have today. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next week.